Hello, welcome to LedgerCast. I'm Brian Krogsgaard. Got Josh Ulswich back on the show. Hey, Josh.
Back in black, baby. Just felt like saying that. I don't know.
That's okay. I will forgive you for saying that. We'll pretend it didn't happen, although it will forever be on this recording. Last week, we didn't have you. You were moving furniture, which the chat then trolled you about on Twitter, apparently.
I wasn't moving anything, okay? Just for the record.
You have people to do these
things. I have people for that, okay?
So last week, I talked to our friends from 0x and Matcha. This week, they're our partner. They've been our partner for a long time. They run the 0x protocol. It's mostly what we talked about. But they also run the Matcha product. You can go to letterstatus.com/matcha to check it out. It's a great freaking product. When I capitulate my bags, I do it on Matcha. Letterstatus.com/matcha. I get quotes all the time on Twitter that's like, why did I wait so long to try Matcha? Because it is easily the best way to friggin' trade on a DEX because it's simple. It aggregates liquidity for you. You get all the depth from all the AMMs out there, no matter where they are most liquid. That is where you can sell and capitulate your bags if you must. If you can't handle it anymore, thanks to Matcha for being our partner and our friends. And if you want to get to know them better, you can check out that episode from last week, which was not a sponsored episode. I've wanted to talk to them for a long time, but it was nice to do
so. They're our sponsor, though. So, right?
They're our sponsor, but they didn't pay us for that episode.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay,
that makes sense. They paid us for that delicious little intro I just gave, but not for the episode that we did. I just talked to people from interesting projects, like when we talked to the sushi people, and I lost my voice during that episode a while back. We talked to Ave. So every now and then we do a little token project type of podcast, not frequent, but most of the time it's just me and Josh. And here we are sitting here at $36,676.24 for one Bitcoin, and everyone's pretty sad about it.
Speaking of Aave, do you know what's going on with SNX?
It had violently
changed the subject.
Yeah, it had a something about the collateral that's used being like with the euro and the way their synthetics work, that it was potentially a disastrous situation. Disaster was avoided, but price number went down. I actually played it to the upside. Like, I nailed it, like $8 to $10, played a little tiny range on it. Dumped it and hadn't gotten back in yet. Looks like it wants to go to 7, maybe lower. I don't know. It's still a blue chip in my mind. It has some protocol issues, but that's never stopped anybody before.
Here's the biggest piece of alpha.
What's up?
This is to again violently change the subject. The biggest piece of alpha I can give is I don't care how anybody trades anything, right? But as long as you have a plan, that's all that matters. So if you have a plan to hold 50% lower, mm-hmm. That's fine, right? Like, that's your plan. I respect it.
Yeah.
I'm saying everybody.
Yeah, it just depends on what you want to do. Like,
what people need to realize is don't get upset at people if they're bearish, if they're bullish. You know, that's their plan. Trading is highly personal. Okay. So,
yeah. Like, part of the olive branch with Rune was I actually bought a bag, but then I sold it above $10. Like, because it was the 20 day. My plan was I'm going to play this back to the 20 day. So I sold it, but then I bought it back. So I bought it back a little too soon. So today's down day, I'm absorbing, and that's fine. So I'm still in profit because I bought it way down in the 7-ish range. But I was hoping for a little more. You can't really see it there, but you can see here it looked like it was going to try to make like a higher-low situation, but it didn't. Now it might be making a descending triangle. So my plan with Rune is probably to continue adding unless it loses the 200-day moving average. But that's my plan. I'm going to play it between the moving averages, and then eventually I think it's going to break up and make Bobby rich again. If it loses the 200-day, I'll cope and sell. How about that?
Okay. I mean, everything looks real bad.
Right. I was just giving you an example. You said have a plan, and I said
right, no, okay. That's fair. Yeah. I'm just saying generally for people, right? Like you know, they're saying this can't happen, that can't happen. We can't go to 20K. We can't go to sub 1,000 on Ethereum, right? Like, okay, that's fine. But what happens when we do and you're not ready for it? And then what do you do, right? I was going to pop up the DeFi, if I can find where I have it. Here it is. The DeFi perp, which is basically some sort of descending triangle falling wedge situation. But ultimately, look at this volume. We have no volume. Volumes are down. People are getting kicked off leverage in every country that exists on the planet, including Kraken, which I'm super pissed about because it's the last place Americans have to actually trade on leverage. Chinese are getting kicked off of exchanges and leverage left and right, you know? Yep. So
yep.
Where's the volume going to come from? You know, no one's excited about crypto right now.
It'll come from cash buyers when the legacy blood is done. There's some legacy blood in the water right now, at least threats of it. They're still like all in massive profits overall, but it's impacting crypto at this point. The macro rotations are going on. There's a lot going on. Josh, I wanted to say one more thing about your plan comments because I thought it was good. So I've been playing a small amount of my portfolio on leverage, started with a certain amount of ETH, and I said I want to get to another certain amount of ETH. And I have a 2.5x to the amount of ETH using about 3x margin. So low margin, more than doubled my ETH. I was happy about that. So the other day, I was like, oh, look at this little consolidation. I think that's going to break up. So I took a trade, and it immediately went into a nice profit. And then it retraced it. And you know what? I should have closed it. I should have closed it because the trade idea was over, and I had all these hours to close it, and I didn't. And then it went down. I didn't close there. It recovered a little bit, and I was like, oh, back to normal. And then it just went down. So I finally closed it down $3,000 per Bitcoin that I was long and took the L on the trade. But I took the L when I should have taken the L as soon as the plan did not play out. If I'm taking the trade based on this action here, I should not then be staying in the trade because of all this that goes against me. This was not following the plan. So that was an example of not following the plan, and it's why you need a plan. Sometimes that's a soft stop, like manually stopping out in here, and sometimes it's a hard stop, like, okay, well, if it goes below 39 or some level that you set for yourself, then you let it go. So I lost that trade, still up a lot on that account, on that that play, but I gave some back to the man. I gave some back to the man, and I don't like that. So have a plan, stick with your plan. That's what I had, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, if your plan is to DCA for the next 2 years, then
yeah, sure.
Do it.
Buy it
up. You know, if your plan is to to stay in cash until we're above the cloud, raises my own hand, then right. Stick to it. Okay.
In that instance, my plan was to play a small margin long to like 42.5. So like the downside ended up being as large as the upside. So it was obviously not the plan. So stick to the plan.
On the 4 hour on BTC, we were setting ourselves up for a breakout trade, which is why that trade you took, I also added to Enzyme, the stuff I trade for Techamy.
That was exactly the setup I was looking for. And then I got that immediate confirmation, which made it all worse because I was in before that wick up. That wick up was the liquidity for the shorts.
Well, the best trades are right very quickly. So again, I don't think it was a bad trade. The same trade, you know? I mean, like,
I just should have gotten out as soon as it failed it. And I let my stubbornness get in the way.
Yeah, that's fair. So now it's back below the range, back below.
Yeah, it's telling you don't do crap here. I've looked at this.
Yeah.
I've looked at this every direction, Josh. Technically, we're making higher lows on the mid time frames like you're showing. Like, this is a 4 hour. But you go to the low time frames and we're making lower highs, and it's just,
well, you can't look at the low time frame.
It's just chop city though. It's chop city. If you look,
right.
Doesn't matter which way you look at it. We could go to new lows. We could break up from here. Don't freaking know. So the summary is of the show is that we don't know.
If the market's chopping around, you have to go to high time frames. Look at, you know, LTC is a great example of that. Not that I'm touching this, but LTC is ultra uber sideways. This looks more of a descending triangle than anything. Yeah, this looks ready to break down.
That looks like it wants to go to zero to me. And a lot of alts look like that. Like
zero is a long way down from 158, my friend.
You know, I don't mean actual zero.
Ethically, morally zero, which is basically sub 50, something like that.
Yeah. Let's talk about the levels that we do have in mind. You want me to go first?
Where you
want to
start? Ripple 589. Oh, sorry. No, go ahead.
I want to talk about Bitcoin. So okay. The lines on this chart go back to, these are weekly levels from before. So this was a weekly open and close in January, and another one later in January. They were kind of the swing point where we went from 30Ks to 60K. So that's why those are there. So on that weekly time frame, it looks like we did some kind of swing failure pattern to the downside and want to range back to 32. That's why those lines are there, but they're not applicable on like the current daily time frame. So what I'm going to do, draw some more lines.
Draw some more cope.
I'm going to make them red this time. If you just look at, generally at our range low and our range high, they're at 40.5 and 33.4. That's pretty close to that 32 weekly level from January. But basically, it feels like chop between there. Now, I thought we were going to go double tap into this 200-day moving average. So my target on my long was 42.8-ish from where that daily was. So I thought we were going to go doot, 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 and then maybe reject off of that. So that's why I took that trade that I took.
You know, we did tap the 200 EMA.
Mm. Oh, no.
Ouch. Hate to see it.
The long-running debate, EMA versus SMA, and we nailed the EMA. Sucks to be me.
For people saying that the bull run isn't over, I mean, what's your criteria for a bull run? We're below the 200-day moving average. We have a death cross in the next couple of days. We're below the daily cloud. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you, right? Like, the trend is not on your side for the bullish part of this. On top of all that, we have this head and shoulders thing forming that is imperfect and ugly, but it's not there.
Yeah, all our previous metrics that we've talked about pretty much all tell you that you should be sidelined right now.
Below the 20-week SMA, right?
Like, yeah, the 20-week was my long-term like thing. The problem is, I think more people would risk off if they got like 45 to 50K because it's more clearly a complacency bounce. And maybe that's why we're just not getting it. You know, it's just, you're not getting that exit opportunity because everybody wants to exit from 50K. And that's 14K above here. That's a long way. That's a long way for that bit of complacency.
I mean, in 2018, we tapped that 20 SMA 4 weeks in a row before actually turning down. So there's still a chance, but yeah, I mean,
well, yeah. Pure percentages wise though, like this is, I would call this a mini bear market currently. And we don't know yet whether it's going to turn into a long bear market. When you put this in linear, it's absurd. Alex in the chat told me to use log. I was in log, bro. If you're just straight up looking, where could we go? You would say prior highs, except for we don't have great evidence of bear markets actually getting to the prior highs. So a lot of people are already talking about 20K, but in the last bull market, they were talking about 1300 and we only got to 3K. I'd rather use what's long been my barometer of bear market ending. That's the 200 week. That's at 13K, so it's well below 20K. But the reason I say that is because you can feel very bearish for a very long time and still not get to like the bottom. Like it took over a year to bottom. Like from the time people accepted it was a bear market, February 2018, we didn't hit the 200 week until December 2018. So that was 10 months of not hitting where the target was while that target moves up. Because in February 2018, the 200 week was at 1700 and it went all the way to 3100. So if we were to play it out similarly now, this 200 week could spend until the end of the year getting up to say 20K, maybe 25, something like that. So like we could just range slowly above 20K between 20 and 30, even if we're in like full on bear market. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean that you just, you know, go like straight down. We could, but that's like COVID caused that when we did it before. You know, I don't know that we have a COVID on our hands. So anyway, that's my thought. If it's done, if we are like flat out over, we may have some kind of near term capitulation in the mid 20Ks, and then a long term bounce back and consolidation. Find out where the bear market goes. Josh, are we being too bearish, or are we just talking the charts?
I mean, it's just reality. If you're not bearish here, I feel sorry for people, because what evidence do we have? Like, the 4 hour turning down is ultra uber bear. I'm looking at the daily, or just some pitchfork on BTC. If we bust through this midline, then we are on the bearish side of bullish, right? So we're back into this.
The bearish side of bullish. Yeah. If I was to give the bull case, it's looking at the 20-day moving average on Bitcoin, where we rejected, broke through it. Today could still be a retest. Like, we have not closed the candle. And I like this 20-day when it flips. I've talked about it a bunch. It is choppier, though. It's not, like, the best. But if we close today like 37K, I think we could push up for better complacency, 43, 44, 45. And I think we'll probably get a lot of selling off of 43 to 45K, including for me. Like, to be quite honest, like, I don't know that I'd hold through that. Well, I'd want to see, like, can it hold the 200-day moving average? You know, can it hold the other stuff? So, intraday, I think we're probably in a very good place to punt, but it's just all so uncertain here. It's very difficult to say what to do.
So you don't do anything. You know, that's the moral of the story. If you don't have an edge, then don't do anything.
Right. This is all in the face, Josh. We should talk about the dollar while we are at it, because it's got to be impacting. Like, if the rest of the market was not giving any warning signs, like the macro environment for which Bitcoin is now playing a part, then maybe we wouldn't be feeling this way. But the macro environment is freaking out a little bit, right? Like,
yeah, when there's volume, crypto can move on its own. But when crypto's reliant on external factors for an answer, it's going to look at the VIX. It's going to look at the Dixie. It's going to look at gold. It's going to look at SPX and NDX, right?
Yeah, and we've talked about several correlations over time. The Dixie moving up fast is typically not good for Bitcoin. The VIX moving up fast is typically not good for Bitcoin. Both of those things are occurring now. The Dixie flipped the 200-day. I don't think it'll necessarily go to, like, full measured move, but yeah, those things definitely provide... There it is. Definitely provide some headwinds for Bitcoin. The VIX itself, like, I don't know, like, on a long-term trend, it's not freaking me out. But at the same time that the S&P is putting in some pretty nasty price action, right on the back of Fed comments, there's some crazy amount of open interest expiring today on legacy options. There's just a lot going on that kind of adds up to this potential continuation of a bearish picture for crypto, and all those things have to play into our thinking. Not to mention commodities got absolutely obliterated across the board this week.
I thought it was interesting that FOMOC, meaning that they said they're raising rates in 2 years and the market flipped the fuck out. Sorry. it's like an addict saying you're going to take away their drug in 2 years time, and they're already, like, having a tantrum.
Yeah, Planet Street asks, what about selling underwater alts at this point? Nearly full risk off seems like the move. And swallowing the tax hedge loss harvest. Well, you don't get... There's not wash trading rules in crypto like there are in legacy markets. Like, if you bought something that's underwater and then you... Or if you sold something underwater and then you bought it right back... In crypto, you can accept that as a loss. In legacy markets, they would basically flag that as a wash trade that you did for tax harvesting. In crypto, you could just treat it like a loss on a trade and still trade it again and be fine. And yeah, you could harvest that loss to counterbalance where you've made money this year. So it might not be the worst plan, but I'm not your accountant, financial planner, yada, yada. I've taken part in some of that behavior before, but typically I don't like just go right back and buy it the next day. Like I just seek risk elsewhere for a bit. It's what I've done historically, but it's not the, I don't think it's the worst idea. Like if you've had a bunch of realized profits this year and you're American, you got a bunch of taxes that you know you're going to pay. Now you're sitting on some L's and you don't like this, then, you know, you could harvest some of those L's and counterbalance some of the gains that you made. At the end of the day, though, for an American, you're going to be taxed based on what you realized in the calendar year. So think about how much turnover have you had on your coin. So for me, 100%. I've turned over 100% of my portfolio on the year. So for me, it's the difference between what was my net worth in January and what was my net worth in December 31st. And I'll owe taxes on the delta of that. That's how I'm planning my taxes. How you plan your taxes and do what you do is up to you. This is just me telling my story. I'm not your financial advisors. This is not financial advice. Please get an accountant. That's my story.
I agree. I was trying to see the CME backwardation or forwardation. I think I have it mixed up, though.
Contango versus backwardation?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's... Anyway... Yeah, everything looks bad. I agree. Just sell it all.
Yeah. So contango is when the futures price is higher than the spot price. Backwardation is when the futures price is lower than the spot price. So if it's in backwardation for Bitcoin, that's usually quite bullish because it typically will trade in contango because people expect the price to be higher in the future. So like some people who trade the curve, like Dan Manischewski from CMS Holdings, we've had him on here. He's been on Up Only. They make this trade sometimes where, like, if the futures curve gets real fat, meaning people are just, like, hyper bullish, sometimes they'll smush the curve, is what I think he called it, where they're basically playing that curve will kind of come back down. So shorting when we're hitting heavy backwardation is historically not, like, great. Certainly you wouldn't really want to do that on futures. Because if you're wrong, you're going to be like double wrong as it also moves into back into contango. So that's something to consider. There's several things like that where just like when it's bullish, it can keep going like in contango for a long time. It doesn't mean backwardation is like immediately going to get squished out of the market or negative funding is immediately get squished out of the market. Like if everybody's bearish, sometimes they'll just be bearish for a bit and they might be right for a bit, just like when they're bullish. So yeah.
Yeah, it's not a perfect signal one way or the other.
Right.
For sure. We have a CME roll next week on BTC and ETH. And it's interesting, even if there weren't contracts until like February for ETH, but you can even see how ETH is curling with these contract rollover times as well, which makes sense. I mean, they're highly correlated with BTC anyway, but doesn't look great for the bulls here on the CME futures rollovers, because if this biannual contract is bearish, we're going to be bearish till end of September, which would perfectly fit my bearish Q3 thesis.
I mean, I wouldn't mind a bullish fourth quarter to end the year, but
let's go back to 20. Do it all over again in Q4. Go back to 60.
Dude, that would... You know how much that would hurt people?
Wake me up when September ends is correct. Septembers have been terrible for BTC. This is the worst Q2 we've ever had for BTC. Brutal. So it's hard for me. Hard for me to be bullish on anything if BTC's not leading the way.
You know, when you go back and you think about it, like... A lot of the things that we were like, well, this is a lot of top signals, but this time is different. It wasn't that different. Like, freaking all the Doge stuff, the BSC stuff, the SNL. I think they were heavier. They lasted longer, but they weren't really different.
The NFT stuff.
NFT stuff. Like,
have you seen?
I think all retail just went straight to Doge. Like, I don't think retail played the rest of it this time, like, near as much. as they like 2017, they, I feel like they got a little more in depth in terms of what they were chasing. And I think this time it was just straight up Doge. Like, and Coinbase, like, panic listing Doge and even freaking Shiba was the ultimate sign of, like, they were just getting ravaged, not having volume on these meme things. And they were like, oh, God, we got to do it. We have to list Doge. And then they just go overboard and list Shiba as well. And it's like, okay, well, it's over.
Yeah, that was pretty sad to see.
They gave up their only moat, which was that of legitimacy. Like, not that you or I both think that that may be in question at times as well. They tend to pump their VC friends' bags, like listing Definity on day one. But the Shiba and Doge stuff was really kind of next level to me. It's like, they know that's not a real crypto asset. It's just like memes people are chasing. But they waited until it was topped, and then they list it. It's like just down only since it's been on Coinbase, probably. That's how everything is when it goes on Coinbase.
I'm honestly surprised Robinhood hasn't listed more trash than they have yet. I wanted to bring up the NFT volume.
Oh, my God. Sorry. Look at this Doge Coinbase chart before you do that. Literally just went straight down. It was the day it went down just a ton. They listed it at 50 cents, and it's anyone who's bought it on Coinbase is down 50%. Incredible. Anyway, sorry, continue.
I mean, it's not good, right?
It's like every Coinbase chart, I feel like. It just, coins get wrecked when they go on Coinbase.
NFT mania is subsiding slowly but surely in the trade volumes and in the active addresses, which they don't have on here anymore, but they think they used to. Here's the volume over the past however long. Looks real bad. You know, like, there's no metric that I can look at that I'm thinking, man, this looks good. Transaction counts are down, active addresses are down. The only thing that's up right now is like Wi-Fi TVL. Like, other than that,
yeah,
everything else is just down.
Well, yeah, it's bad news for NFTs. You know what I've been following for NFT momentum, which new is the price of NFTX. This is relative to Ethereum, Josh. This was a wow. This is the NFT index thing. So like, you can, it's like floor punks or whatever. If you say it broke down here from that complacency high, it's down 91% relative to Ethereum since March 6th. I've been watching this because I'm kind of using it as my like basis for maybe when NFTs bottom. But I think this is going to be end up being one of those ones that has to go through a long, you know, reaccumulation type of period. I don't think NFTs are dead like a lot of people do. I just think the current iteration of NFTs are dead. Like, the way people are approaching the market is wrong, in my opinion. Like, for the people who are listing NFTs and what people are looking for. I can express this.
It was a gold rush. Everyone's like, I'm going to buy Top Shots today, sell it tomorrow for more to the next greater fool, and then do it again the next release, right? Like, in that right. Chain is slowed down.
Yeah, there was massive, so what I tweeted about, this massive saturation as artists on board, and they basically just bring per item pricing way down. Then there was cash grabs for like celebrity NFTs and crap. And then the third thing that I really want to look for is when people start launching what I would call like non-art NFT use cases. So where you're taking advantage of the 721 standard for things that aren't just like somebody's picture or a pixelated collection. And when that happens, I'll be happy. I'll be looking for a potential bottom in NFTs. But for now, it's like, it's pretty rough out there. Like, there's just not enough buyers, I don't think. You know?
Yeah, I mean, everyone realizes that the money train has stopped. this is monthly Dex volumes. We're only 18 days into June, but I don't think it's going to eclipse May, and it may not even eclipse April again.
Yeah, gas fees are down for the first time in a long time.
Gas is zero, which is not good because that says no one's doing anything on Ethereum.
or they're doing it on what's it called?
BSC?
Yeah, no, Polygon now. We've moved on, Josh.
I mean, oh, my bad. Sure. Well, however you want to slice it, you know, people aren't using ETH the way they used to be.
The best scams have moved to Polygon. Didn't you see Titan go to zero? Gas is actually a little higher today, but it's probably because of capitulation to the downside, not because, like, it was, gas was sub 10 Gwei for a bit, like, frequently. It was like really cheap. I could do an approval for like a dollar, you know, like that. I spent like $20 on approvals for a little while there. So, we've had quite a move down. Some of that has moved on to side chains. But that's one of the potential bearish scenarios for like ETH 1559 type stuff is by the time it gets here, all those models of how much ETH will burn because of the fee predictions are broken because there's not as much demand. And then also how much stuff actually goes on layer two. We'll just see. People asked what did happen on Titan. There was a good article. Somebody wrote about it. I'll look for it. But it was an algorithmic stablecoin, and we haven't had any evidence of any of those working yet. So it broke and it went to zero. It went from $60 to zero. Then everybody gave Mark Cuban a bunch of crap because they lost like $8 million on it and then called for regulation of algorithmic stable coins that call themselves stable when they're not or something. But I think his quote was taken a little bit out of context. Like, he knows he's a degenerate. He's just got caught up like everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have millions to piss away on an algorithmic stable coin, maybe you shouldn't be betting millions on an algorithmic stable coin. To see him come out and say, like, shame on me for participating or whatever he said, we need more regulation, you know, that's just sad.
He was calling a specific type of regulation. I think it was overblown. I love his excitement for DeFi stuff. His blog post cracked me up because it was like, clearly there was no editor there. It was just like excited Mark Cuban clacking the keys, you know, like, and then I put LP and I get 220% APY because I'm the only person providing liquidity. That's like amazing. Like, I loved it. I freaking loved it. I love how much of an ape he is. I love how into it he is and how much he gets it. Does he make mistakes? Sure. But everybody does. And he's doing them in public as a billionaire that doesn't have to do anything in this space. So I think it's incredible what he's doing.
So brave. That brave billionaire pissing away his money. It does provide visibility, which is good. But it also, in some cases, provides people with some sort of false sense of support for a project. Thinking like, oh, Mark Cuban can't lose all his money. Well, guess he can, you know.
Yeah, thank you to AJ for the link. DMNZ for the link. We'll put this in the show notes, but yeah, the governance token went to zero. The peg was lost. And it went to zero, like zero. Not like 2 cents. It went to zero. I don't know. It's a mess.
And this is something else you don't see in a bull market. Typically, you know, you don't see scams unraveling in a bull market. Things like SNX having issues. You know, you don't see that usually in a bull market.
Those are two varied. Iron breaking down and SNX.
I agree. But they're all in the same type of conversation where you have this unraveling of stuff, you know.
Yeah,
you don't see Tether having issues in a bull market. They're not having issues now, but I'm saying in 2018 they did. And
so, Josh,
you see these type of things.
We're probably a little different in terms of our bullishness or bearishness on DeFi for the long term. I'm very bullish on DeFi for the long term. Obviously, started a business around it. Shout out FlipMetrics.com. if it wasn't, I want to make a lot of money in markets. So in that case, like, I don't like the fact that things look like crap. If it was just about like kind of testing the strength of the system, how things can manage themselves long term, in that regard, had I sold the top or something, I'd be much more excited about what happens in a bear market to be able to figure out like what is durable in DeFi and what is not. And like, I think we will learn a lot in a bear market where it's not the bear market that DeFi emerged from, but it's a bear market for DeFi and ETH stuff itself. You know what I mean? I think that that could help be the proving ground, help provide Lindy effects for DeFi stuff. I just don't like being poor during it, you know.
I'm excited to have a bear market for most of these tokens since January because they haven't had one. You know, most of these haven't existed.
Yeah, people act like, right? Alt season soon. It's like 5 months of alt season is what we had. Like, everything bottomed in November, but then outperformed Bitcoin bigly from January through like May. So not everything, but on a rotation, alts outperform Bitcoin for like 5 months. It was a very long alt season. So yeah,
so I can't be bullish.
You don't mind
until we've seen a bear market play out for this stuff. Like, I don't know where it could go to zero. It could all go to zero, right? Like, it's basically been bullish since January for the first time ever. Look at UniSushi 1-inch. Aave's been in like a 2-year bull market. Link's been like a 3-year bull market, right? Like, this stuff can go down and will go down eventually. It isn't just gonna, like, look at this Link, this pitchfork on Link, not that one. This dates back to 2018. It's been bullish, right? Like,
Yeah,
this is either the ultimate bottom or
it's over.
It's over. You know, like, it's that simple.
Well, I think what's interesting is, you know, alts have gone down. DeFi stuff went down between like September and November of 2020, while BTC went way up. So like, the underperformance was massive because you could have been in BTC making money and instead you were in DeFi losing money. But that was a bear market as a rotation because the market overall was strong because Bitcoin was going up. So what does a DeFi bear market look like, or an altcoin bear market look like, with Bitcoin going down? Well, you only have to look at 2018. It was very bad. You know, like, so there's people that are 2020 and onward only people that are like, oh yeah, this altcoin's down 60% off the highs, I'm going to buy it now. And they don't realize it can go down another 90% after it went down 60%.
Doge has 90% to the downside before it hits 100 sats again.
That's crazy. And I think, go to your Doge chart. I actually think Doge BTC 100 sats will be the new 20 sats. But if 20 sats is the new 20 sats, then it's like unbelievable cope for Doge people. Like, if it falls back into the ancient range, and I don't think that'll happen, but that would be freaking brutal.
I mean, it's still at 800 sats. It's got 90% left before it's 100 sats. Yeah. Like, so until Doge is down significantly, you know, we're still in a bear market as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's going to take years for Doge.
Like, it might, you know, it might happen overnight if Elon tweets some garbage about Doge, right?
No. I think Kobe's right. They're going to end up being like a Doge smart contracts platform or something. They're going to fork Doge and make it proof of stake or something. Who knows what? They're going to do some crazy stuff with Doge. But I think it's inevitable that relative to Bitcoin, Doge like spends years melting down no matter what it does with the dollar. I think it had such a hilarious, unsustainable run that it cannot recover from what it's done, in my mind. I don't think it can sustain further growth.
Yeah.
If you bought Doge at 20 sats, you can just sell forever and still be in hilarious profit.
Exactly.
And that's what people did. Like, I mean, they sold at 100 sats, but like, those Doge whales, some of them truly bought sub 20 sats or accumulated sub 30, 40 sats for a long time, and they're still holding. Like, I don't know that whale wallets are massively selling their Doge. So it can bleed for a very, 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 very long time. I would never buy Doge until it's 100 sats. How about that?
I agree.
All right, and, Josh, the people need hopium. They're sad. They're like,
I can't. What can I point to that's hopium right now? Sailor hasn't bought yet.
Like, Sailor hasn't bought what else? Yet. That's good hopium. That's good. That's quality hopium, sir. Sailor has 500 million, or did he already raise another billion? I heard he like did two different things, right? He basically is just going to continue buying dips on Bitcoin. The question is when?
The infinite dip. The infinite. When people stop buying the dip, that's when it's bottomed. Right now, we're still in the, this is all a dip phase. I still think ETH could go to sub 1,000 easily. It's looking like it's ready for that.
That would make
basically
me pretty hard. I don't.
Basically, think. Everything is poised to go back to its yearly open in January. Oof.
What was the yearly open for ETH in January? 1,300? 1,200?
800?
Nope.
739 on Coinbase? Yeah, but
it like pumped right at the beginning of the year. I don't hold very much Ethereum, but I would be willing to buy a little more at the 200-day moving average at 1850, even though it might not be a long bounce.
And people should be excited about that, right? Like, if you believe in crypto long-term, you want to buy lower lows. You don't want to buy 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 Ethereum. Like, why? It's just better upside later, you know?
Yeah.
I don't get why everybody's upset about being bearish. It's
because
like
you we're
should be
poor.
Happy. You should be happy and excited. If you're not happy about lower lows, then you are holding from 4,000 ETH, right? Like,
No. It's because we normalized our net worth at the top.
That's fine. Jump out of the pool, right? Like, the chlorine's getting to you, or the salt is getting to you. Jump out of the pool, towel off, dry out, warm up in the sun, put on some more sunscreen, and get back in when the time is right. There's my hopium.
That's not very good hopium. We want it to go up. People, we want it to go up now.
People assume I'm glass half empty, but in reality, my long-term view is glass is full and going to be full for a long time.
Just stack your sats.
I just, the thing about ETH, it's still above its 200-day moving average, and the 200-day moving average is at 1450.
That's the 50. The EMA.
Oh, sorry, that's on the 2-day, my bad.
It's at 18.
2K.
Yeah, that's EMA is at 2K, the SMA is at 1890 or something. Here's a bad one. ETH 20 week. Right on the brink.
Yep.
Right on the brink.
Looks like it's ogre to me.
We gotta save it. Somebody save it.
Vitalik, get in there. Yeah, I can't be bullish here until we start seeing higher highs on anything alt, and we're just not seeing it.
All right, where will you change your mind? Please finish us off. Finish us off by telling me where will you change your mind.
Sub 1,000 ETH.
MNKSF says welcome to Goblin Town. No, on the upside. Let's say we reverse right this moment. When do you change your mind and you go in?
Oh, I mean, we got to make higher highs, right?
On what time frame? Hourly?
Anything. we haven't. Stop. When has ETH made a higher? ETH hasn't made a higher high since May 21st. You know, like it's just been low after low after low.
It's got this Dalai Lama vibe. Like it could.
What Dalai Lama vibe? Delusional.
It could mew itself.
This is delusionary thinking.
When I went on Bankless, I drew this exact chart, actually.
It could Dalai Lama to the downside, if that's what you're talking about. there's nothing here. You know, it had a chance on the 4-hour, like BTC did, and it just couldn't get above the cloud.
It looks bad. It looks like it wants to drill the 200-day at 1850 and then see what's up. I'm buying 1850. Let's see what it looks like on ETH BTC before we go, because we haven't talked about that. Good gracious, it looks terrible.
If people are looking at that and thinking it's bullish, man, that is an ugly M double top.
It tried to save it at 0.063 like this one daily, and it could have gone and made this beautiful ascending triangle type of thing, but it looks pretty bad right now. 0.06, you could, that's a tough punt. That's a tough one.
I like sub 0.05 for a buy.
Sub 0.05. What about the prior 0.055 level? You think it could save it again?
No chance.
No chance.
In what? No chance.
What time frame?
In what time frame?
Mm-hmm.
The next 3 months.
Wait.
What is?
Oh, you think there's no chance it stays above 0.055 in the next 3 months?
Yes.
Really? On a weekly close?
Yes. If we go to 600 ETH and 20K BTC, that's 0.03 on the
I want to take
the ratio.
I don't want to owe you two stakes. Still owe you one in the first place.
It just doesn't look good, you know? What about this looks good?
The problem is I think it could go to like 0.048, like that 20-week. Like I think it could underperform all the way to here.
The 200-week is 0.035.
Not my my 200-week is at 0.043.
Not my president.
I choose to believe that the fundamentals will play out and 0.05 will hold.
What fundamentals? EIP-1559 is useless if gas is zero. Like, who cares? You know, like you already said, it was a big deal and gas was infinity. But if it's zero, then we're not really burning anything.
ETH shall be burned. 0.05, Josh. How about that? 0.05, 3 months, weekly close.
You think it'll stay above 0.05?
On a week, there will not be a weekly close below 0.05 for 3 months.
Okay. Whatever you say.
It's a long bet.
Yeah, I don't know. Any time frame I try to look at this in any way on any chart right now, it just doesn't.
Here, look at it this way.
Doesn't do it for me.
I will average back in every week below 0.05 happily. I will work my way back into being an Ethereum maxi below 0.05 happily. Happily.
That's fair.
0.04, I'm all in. 200, whatever the 200-week moving average is. People are saying okay. I'm an ETH maxi. I just told y'all I'm like almost all Bitcoin. I have very little ETH exposure.
We just keep creeping lower on BTC here.
Crypto Gypsy, I bet you one BTC it doesn't hold. But the problem with the bet is if it's a 1 week close, like it kind of freaking sucks for me as a like I don't have a lot of upside there, you know? Anyway.
Yeah. That's all I got. It ain't good.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. When did you sell your ETH ledger? I sold my ETH. I don't remember. I did it on Tulip as well. Similar time frame. It was when we were doing stuff. 2600 maybe? 27? It was somewhere in this chop. But ETHBTC was looking kind of garbage to me. Maybe it was like 0.064, 0.065, something like that. So we're not like, I just felt like it was going to fail that. And we may not fail it for very long, but I don't know. I had plenty of upside in BTC by itself. So that's the bet I took.
Everything looks in big trouble right now.
Is this bottom things? Is this podcast bottom things?
No. No. I don't know. I just keep flipping between the charts, time frames. Until BTC can turn the corner, it's just tough. It is a tough cookie.
We shall see. At least Amazon's up. That's one of the best charts in the whole world.
And AMC, that's a great looking chart we were talking about in the pre-show.
Yep.
AMC looks great. Maybe that's not a good thing.
Yeah, the AMC stuff, the meme stock stuff still going is kind of baffling.
I, for one, welcome our new Amazon overlords.
But meanwhile, like, stocks are down. There's a huge 28% move in two-year yield today. Look at this on the COVID timeline. Like, what? COVID, sideways. That's the sound effect for you. Like, what in the world? So people are trying to interpret what the heck is happening. The Fed is in control, or they think they are, and it's affecting everything else. Meanwhile, 30-year is breaking down massively, down 3.5%, 2% on the 30-year. The macro stuff is playing a part in what's happening in Bitcoin. That is for sure. Can't ignore it right now. So keep an eye out. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Don't know what else to say. Thanks to Masha for being our partner. Like I said, capitulate your backs. You can subscribe to this show on iTunes and Apple Podcasts and all those places if you can't join us live. We'd also appreciate reviews and ratings and all that stuff. Thanks for being here.
Monuments crumble.
Yeah, we're on Spotify.
In the blink of an eye, the easy river has just run dry. In a house of cards, I feel the breeze.
Subscribe in 2024. Sir, you have to listen throughout a bear market if we have one. Sorry for talking over the music. Breathe.